Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
We had a really, really good time on Wednesday at Discover. I love chatting. I love hearing what people think. It's amazing. Do you know that you all think something all the time? Even now, you're thinking something. And I think that God made us to think. And there are some kind of, I've been to some meetings where it says, make your mind go blank. And it's like, I don't want to make my mind go blank, thank you. Or just think of a teacup. And I don't want to think of a teacup. Or think of flowers or stuff like that. But I found that God wants you and me to think kind of like he thinks. And he helps us do that by telling us what he thinks through his word, but also speaking to us by the power of his spirit. And tonight, I just got a really simple message. I've kind of been thinking about this since Wednesday, and I've been kind of praying it through, and okay, God, challenge my heart. And there's a title for this. It's called Forgive and Forget, or Forget to Forgive. All right, so that's kind of the message. But I really think that tonight, there's some people, as we were praying out there at five, God began to speak to us, four or five of us that were there, we made the noise of about 1,000. It was incredible, it was really loud. It's like, where did all these people come from? Why? It's because God wanted to tell us at the prayer meeting what he thinks. And part of what he was thinking was this. We all kind of get born into life and we all get born into situations, we all get born into circumstances. And a lot of those circumstances, a lot of those situations help shape what we think. What we think about life, what we think about the future, what we think about society, but more importantly, what we think about ourselves. And in my experience, I can just remember, even now, that I spent so many of my early years, the first 30, 20 years, thinking that I would never quite be good enough to be successful. I can remember spending the first 25 years of my life thinking that I was never ever going to be quite rich enough or strong enough or tall enough to meet the mark that society wanted me to meet. Does anybody have the faintest idea what I'm talking about? That there was something going on in my head which I can't remember really putting there. I just remember hearing it said about me. And as I kind of began to grapple with that, and as I began to just think about those things just a week ago, God said something really simple to me. He said, we can either live in the land of memory, or we can live in the land of now. Because the land of memory is something that actually only exists really in my head. It's usually formed through opinion, through experience, through situations. And it can create and cultivate a sense of loss or a sense of regret. Because everybody in this room and everybody that you meet, everybody that you know, God has a plan for them. And that plan is to prosper them and make them fit and healthy and well. God's thinking about humanity is, I think that you can't make it on your own. So I think I'm going to come and make a difference to you. So I know already, and we're going to look at some scriptures in the Bible in a moment, that God thinks he wants to make you a success. God thinks greatly about you. And this is, we were kind of in that time of worship. Great time of worship, right? Yeah. Wonderful presence of the Lord. Yeah. God said something to me from Isaiah. This isn't the message, it's just the prequel to it. He said, there are some people in the room, probably, that think, surely the hand of the Lord is too short to make a difference to my life. Or, maybe he's just stopped listening to me. That both comes from Isaiah 59. I want to tell you tonight that God's arm isn't too short. God's arm will extend and reach right where you are at this evening. He'll bypass what you think, what you don't think, what you believe, what you don't think, what you don't believe. He'll bypass your bank balance. He'll bypass your experience of God because his hand thinks he wants to come and change you and save you. Also, his ear is always inclined towards anybody that calls upon him, the Bible says. Anyone, say anyone. Anyone who calls upon the Lord, he hears. So I just want to encourage you tonight. You might have turned up and thought, I just don't seem to have got plugged in with God. Well, let me tell you, tonight he wants to get plugged in with you. Can I just encourage you that you might not even have heard God speak to you ever, or you might not even remember the last time God spoke to you. Well, let me tell you, he's always listening to every heart cry, even the quiet mornings when you're up, just, God, just help me. He's hearing every word. That when, even when you're dreaming, daydreaming, when you're just longing for something to change, he hears every longing. And let me tell you, he's not deaf. Let me tell you, he's not distant. Let me tell you, he's not going around going la 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 la. No, no, he's interested in you because he made you to know him. So tonight is about living out of this place of nowhere into this place of regret and past into, let's live in the now moment of God. Book of Proverbs, it says, as a man thinks, so he is. I think that's probably true for ladies as well. Can I put that? As a man thinks, so he is. But I just want to help, by the grace of God, allow God to re-educate us just in this next 20 minutes. Is that okay? Because I think God thinks more about us than we think about us. I don't just mean in terms of time, but I also think in terms of level. We might think we're a hopeless case. God already knows that, which is why he came to change us. God, we might already think we're rubbish, and God already knows that, which is why he came to change the rubbish. We might think, we'll have a go, Joe, but we'll never ever get it. And God already knows that, which is why he came to do what we can't do for ourselves. So God already knows what we think. But God thinks a different level. Many people from the early parts of the Bible began to meet this God who just thought differently. I think I'm just going to be a great dreamer. God thought he was going to be prime minister. I think I'm just going to walk as closely to God as I can. God thought he was going to be the first lifeboat man. His name was Noah. New film coming out, Russell Crowe. Check it out. Only because it's got Russell Crowe in it, right? Okay. Some people thought, God's got a plan for everybody except me. Let me just encourage you that there are no exceptions to God's thinking. There are no exemptions or exceptions to what God thinks about you or me. The Bible says that even before we were made, even before this great building was made, even before our history was made, even before our future was made, even before air was made, God took time to think about us. It says in that process, they made some decisions. One of those was, let's make them to look like us. Wow, incredible. But let's also think about them. Goes on a bit later in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, it says, even before a thought is in our head, God already knows what it is. Before an emotion has attached itself into our heart, God already knows what it is. Why? Because, man, he's so interested in you. He's so interested in me. This isn't so hard for me, and it's not even hard for Richard. It says he knows how many hairs are on our head. It's like, I'm trying to make his job easier every day. Do you know what I mean? It's like every day. It's like, God, you just have less to count, right? You can laugh if you like. I don't mind. But I just want you to know that tonight, the hand of the Lord is not too short that it can reach the person next to you, but not quite you. Or it can reach every other person's situation, but not quite your one. Can I just encourage you tonight that all who call upon the Lord, he hears. Everybody. You see, this title of Forgive and Forget, as a Christian, I began to understand the power of forgetting. But you've got to forget the right things. Not forget the wrong things. We're just about to turn that phrase on its head. For example, when I've come out with something I regret saying it, I go to God and remember that he says, if you tell me you're sorry, I'll forgive you. Now I've got to remember that. Because if I forget that, I carry it into the day. And it begins to have an effect on me. It begins to influence what I think. It begins to influence what I think about this person or this situation. Then it will begin to infect me, and it is an infection. Medical science today believes that the majority of physical sicknesses are caused by psychosomatic roots, bitterness, loss, anger, fear, trauma. I don't believe God invented you or I to live in trauma and then live in the regret of it afterwards. Stuff happens. Things happen. But the happening person before all those things happened to us was God himself. The Bible says that before all things God was, and after all things God still is. So you can guarantee that God was before our trauma, he's in the trauma, and he's on the other side of the trauma. You can also guarantee God doesn't want me to live in it. He doesn't want me to live as a consequence of my trauma. But he gives me the possibility to go to God and say, God, I've blown it, I've messed up, I'm really, really sorry. And I remember, he says, I'll forgive you. If I forget that, I'm going to carry stuff into the day that I don't need to carry, and so will you. Jesus said that he came. Why did he do that? Because he knew that I couldn't go there. I couldn't make the difference that he was about to make. I couldn't offer what he was about to offer. It says he came to bind up the brokenhearted. What does that mean? It means in my emotional life, in your emotional life, Jesus wants to come, and not just to repair, but to set you free on the inside. Jesus doesn't just want to come with a band-aid or with a first aid or even with third aid. He just wants to come and clean us and set us free totally. Jesus doesn't come with a sticking plaster. Jesus comes totally to separate us from emotional scarring and wounding into freedom and liberty and health. Does it mean that we don't muck up? Absolutely not. But it means if we remember he's faithful, we can go back and say, Jesus, I'm so sorry. And he says, I forgive you. It also says that Jesus came to set captives free. I've already mentioned this. As a man thinks, so he is. I believe that means how we think about others, how we think about our life, how we think about our lot, how we think about, oh, well, you know, I just have to make do. God is not a God of make do. God is a God who makes the best happen. God's plan for you and for me is I want to prosper you. I want to make you great. I want to give you everything you need for life and for godliness. Well, I don't always get that. He says, I know, but don't give up on me, because I'm not going to give up on you. He came, I believe, to provide me and you and the whole of humanity an opportunity to have a clean slate heart and a clean slate mind and a clean slate life. Why? Because he won't forget. He won't forget you. He won't forget me. I just have to remember that he won't forget. He won't forget when he says, I'm for you, not against you. He won't forget and he says, ask of me anything and I'll give it to you. He won't forget when he says, if you knock on the door, I'm going to open the door. He's not going to forget that. He's not going to forget when he says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. He's not going to forget when you ask, you will. He's not going to forget that, but sometimes I do. Do you understand that? Which is why we've got to be careful that we forget the right things and we remember the right things. I need to forget that I'm just a waste of time. I already know that. And I just remember God has made me new. God's given me a new hope and a new start and a new beginning. And even if I muck it up again tomorrow, he's still going to be there to sort it out with me tomorrow. Because Jesus didn't come to think a new philosophy or to think a new opinion. He came to make a difference. He came to be a difference. It says in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom. Woohoo! Technology. It is for freedom that Christ has. We have a present tense and a past experience. He has set me free. He has set us free. It's for now. I need to remember that. Sometimes I forget. When do I know when I've forgotten? Because I'm confessing I'm free but living like a slave. Everybody's telling me what to do and I'm just getting on with it because I have to. And all the joy is going out of my heart and I look as if I should have a cheer up time. Do you understand that? What I remember is no. It is for freedom that Christ has set me free. So stand firm then. That doesn't mean stand still. It means there's a decision in my heart. I'm not going to forget. I'm going to remember that Jesus has set me free. He's come to change my life. He's my destiny now. He's my future now. So I'm not going to allow myself to be burdened with a yoke. What's a yoke about? A yoke is about work. It's about effort. It's about being connected with another in the wrong sense. Didn't Jesus say, no, look at me, learn from me, carry my yoke upon you? Yeah. What's his yoke all about? It's about, I think this about you. I believe, I want you to know that tonight Jesus believes in you. He believes in you. He believes in you. Now, I know that when I had to give my life to Jesus, when I realized that I just needed a new life and a new beginning, the Bible said I had to put my faith in him. But what I didn't realize is at that moment, he also put his faith in me. And he has with you. I think that's incredible. I don't want to forget that. So what do I need to do? Well, there's some things that I'm learning to do. Matthew 11:28-30 says this. Come to me all. I love that. What does that make me think about what God thinks? What God thinks is, come on then. Anybody? All of you? Everyone? I love that Jesus doesn't think in a box of culture or time or generation. He just says, come on then. But where are we going to come to? Come to him. How many in this room feel a bit weary, feel a bit burdened? How many of us just have a bit of pain on the inside? It's like, oh, if only I hadn't done that. If only we'll just gnaw away at our heart until we say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I forgive that person. Lord, I know I'm forgiven. There's a nagging. Nag, 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 nag. It's like a little thing going off. But then I have to remember this. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Does that mean we end up lying down for a couple of weeks and don't go to work? No. It means that you rest with yourself. We give up fighting with all the stuff that's fighting us. And we just say, Jesus, I'm yours. And you're mine. Is we stop this inner conflict of struggle and stress. Oh dear, do I have to say sorry first? It wasn't my fault, it was their fault. Jesus says it doesn't matter. We're all at fault. There's nobody right in this room apart from Jesus himself, the Bible says. And in that moment, we find that there is a taking, there's an engagement, there's an exchange of yoke here, but also a learning curve starts. Jesus says, learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. How much energy do we spend in our thought life, in our emotional life, just in our body behavior, living as if we're still yesterday? What Jesus says is, no. I want to bring you to a place of rest on the inside. That you're not fighting. You're not struggling. You're not trying to validate or vindicate yourself. But you let him do that. Jesus, it says, came to be our vindication. So what does this mean for me? What does this mean for us? It means come and be forgiven. And this one for me is one I've been dealing with in the last couple of days. Come and forgive yourself. You will be your biggest critic. And you will be your biggest judge. You will be. I know I am. I'm harder on myself than God is most of the time. And yet we know that if we come to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm really sorry, that is not what you think about me. I need to change what I think about me. That's not what you think about them. I need to change what I think about them. And it's certainly not what you think about us. Lord, forgive me. We get set free from yesterday. This place of past into this place of present is now. So we receive his rest, which is his presence, I believe. We can receive his assurance, which is the power of acceptance. This is an interesting one. You can check this out if you've got a Bible. There was an old song. I only sang it once. All right. It's Jesus, take me as I am. He won't. He can't. He doesn't have to. The Bible's very clear to me that Jesus can't take me as I am. He loves me too much to leave me like that. He wants to give me a new start. So when I sang that, I just felt the Lord said, this has gone back a few years, so the Lord said, why are you singing that? And he said, because I don't know what else to sing. This is going back into the mid-80s. And he said, well, actually, why don't you sing to me? Not sing about yourself. Jesus is interested in taking me as I am. He wants me to take him as he is. Bible says he cannot. His love does not accept me as I am. His love changes me from old to new, then from new to newer, and then newer to newest, and then newest to newest, and then brand new. The Bible says from glory to glory or strength to strength. He doesn't want to take me as I am. He wants to change me to be like he is. But I forgot that. And he's constantly reminding me, and I want to remind you, Jesus doesn't want you to live yesterday's man. He wants you to live today's him. Today's him. So I can receive his presence. I can receive that assurance, the ability to be forgiven and to forget. I love this in Psalm 103. It's going to come up behind me. I love this one. Because this is so true for you. It's so true for me. Not just the reality of it, but also the freedom that comes. For as high as the heavens are above the earth. How many of you saw this bloke go up in his capsule? Was it 27 miles up? All he had was Red Bull, right? He just drunk Red Bull all the way up. You can tell that because the cam was massive. And then he stood out over it, and you could see a camera looking over his shoulder, looking at the little blob called Earth. Do you remember that? And then he's just like, what's he going to do now? But the flight was only one way. Did you see that? The only way down was down. And I knew there was someone bigger than him looking over his shoulder. And I know that one of his testimonies on the way down is he realised God must be real. Look at the size of everything. But even when he got up there, 26 miles up, whatever it was, he's still not going to find your confessed sin there. Even though he was up there when nobody else had been like that before, he was just a man in a dodgy suit, right? But the Bible says, even the sin that I've confessed, you won't find it there. What it says here is, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Wow, come on! In the whole expanse of time, space, all that was going to take control of him now was gravity. He was going down, but let me tell you, love will never let you go down till you hit the ground. The love of God is too big. He remembers you too well. He knows you too intimately to let you just tumble out of life and just free fall. He won't allow you to do that. It says this, so far has he removed our transgression. What does that mean? When I've stuffed up, when I've done it wrong, when I've just been an idiot, like we all do, is even up there, you won't find it. You could go even further than up there, you still won't find it. Why? Because when God forgives, he forgets. Some people come up to me and say, what's the unforgivable sin? I'll say the unconfessed one. Because most of us can think, like we started at the beginning, I've been such an idiot. Yes, I know. Join the club. I've just been so stupid, haven't we all? But I remember God is faithful. I remember that he says in 1 John, we all do stupid stuff. For we've all sinned, the word says. And if we don't think we have, we're the biggest mug in the room. But I love the but. If we confess our sin, it's nothing to do with our faithfulness. It's about our willingness to say, I've blown it. Help me. And we connect with what God thinks about us. I think I'm going to forgive you. I think I'm going to set you free. I think I'm going to give you another opportunity. I think I'm going to walk closer with you next time so you don't get it wrong again. These are the kinds of things God thinks. So when we read this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but if you confess your sins, God is faithful and he's just. This thing, I'm just going to kind of finish with this part with this. This word just means God is the only person who has the right to judge anybody. He's seen it all, done it all, been there, If there was a t-shirt, he's got it. If there was a video, he's in it. He knows every thought, every desire. He knows what's going on. And he is the only person who has the right to judge, but he doesn't. Why? Because a couple of thousand years ago, he demonstrated punishment and judgment. When Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says he carried the sins of society upon himself. There was a judgment, but the punishment's been paid. Thank you, Jesus. Doesn't mean I can do what I want. It means I have to go back to Matthew 11. When I've mucked up, I'm going to come to Jesus. When I've said something that I regret, I'm going to come to Jesus. When I've just had a wrong attitude, I'm going to come to Jesus. But I can't just do that. I have to go sideways. Because most of us in the room, whenever we do stuff wrong, the first person that we do it wrong to is God. But it's usually not the last person. It's usually somebody else. And that's why Jesus said this. Love me with everything that you possibly can be, and love your neighbour as yourself. Then he pushed that boundary a little bit further. He says, love me with everything that you are, but then love others as I've loved you. Come on. So Jesus didn't come to give us a route of access. If we do this, he does that. God came to give us a relationship to the God who forgives today. He came to give us a relationship with the one who forgets. He's not going to remind you in a 10 years' time, do you remember when you did that? No, he's forgotten. Thank God that your wife isn't God. So God came to forgive, to forget, and to remove, so that we can be free tonight from guilt, from shame, free from sickness and pain, free from having a captive heart, a captive mind, and a captive soul. You see, I've had times when I know that I'm saved. I know that Jesus came to set me free, but I'm not living like it. Why? Because I've forgotten what I should have remembered. Do you understand that? It's not God's fault, it's mine. And I've had to say, Lord, I'm so sorry that I'm not living in this new life that you gave me. Please forgive me. And immediately, done, move on. But Lord, I'm going to do it again tomorrow. Well, then repent tomorrow. Say sorry tomorrow. And it's done. Let's all stand up, shall we? So tonight, I don't know how many of us would say that we're kind of living maybe a little bit too much in yesterday. You don't have to. The Bible says that when we become Christians, when we give our lives to Jesus, the Bible says that we have a new life, a new beginning. But it also means that we have a new past. And without getting too theological about it, our past becomes his past. So my future becomes his future. Who's him? Jesus. So the past I have, I don't have to remember, and God has already forgotten. Woohoo! The past is the past. However, I can live as if it's still my today. Why? Because I just forget God. When God says, morning by morning, my mercies are new. I can just forget that God says, if you ask me, I'll give you a new start. If you confess your sin, I'll forgive you. I'll give you a clean slate. So I've got to remember what God remembers. I don't know how many of you kind of break bread. We broke bread around at Jemima Mooners the other day. And every time we do that, Jesus said, every time you do this, remember, new beginning, new start, new opportunity. We don't have to live as a product of yesterday. We're here to change the future in God. So Father, I thank you right now. Father, for your word. I know that you've been speaking to people tonight. I know that you said you wanted to bring people out of captivity, of past hurt and past rejections and bitterness. I thank you that you want to set us free tonight on the inside. You want to set us free on the outside. You want to set us free around us. I thank you that the word says, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. And I want to thank you for the people here that know you already. I thank you that you've already done that. But I thank you that for those that don't, you still want to do that. So, Father, I pray right now for everyone under the sound of my voice, everyone that's going to be listening to this message in these weeks to come, that they are open enough and honest enough to come before the faithful God, the living God, the one who redeems, the one who we sang about earlier. You do everything we've sung about and more. Your love came to save me. With your blood you have redeemed me. I want to thank you that tonight you want to redeem us. You want to buy back the time that we might have wasted. You want to buy back those times of hurt and doubt. And I thank you that you want to set us free from those things tonight and give us a whole new future and a whole new opportunity going forward. I thank you for your faithfulness, Jesus. I thank you for your power to forgive. Right now, I just pray for anybody here. If they just need to spend a moment just putting stuff right with you, I thank you right now for the grace to do that. I thank you that you have made a way that we can access the very mercy seat, the Bible says. I want to thank you that no one person, nobody in this room stands under your judgment at all. We all stand under your favour. We all stand under your abundant grace. We all stand under that opportunity to have a new beginning. I want to thank you that your arm is not too short and your ear is not dull to anybody in this place. I want to thank you, Jesus, that you are such a good God. You are such a faithful God. You are such a kind God. You are such a gracious God. You are such a forgiving God. You are such a redemptive God. You are such a reconciling God. You are such a healing God. I thank you that you are God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. It might be appropriate, again, I'm just going to read this scripture from Matthew again as we kind of all stood together, is that we might have to just take a step out of our chair, step forward, whatever you want to do to help you understand the reality of this, all right? Where Jesus says to you and he says to me tonight, come to me, all.
Amen. Come on.
Now, I used to think that was everybody except me. And God said, why are you so special? I said, what do you mean? He said, are you so proud that you don't think I can forgive you? No, Lord. He said, well, stop it then. Come to me, all who are weary, burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is my love for those who fear me. As far as the east is from the west, you'll never find where that joins. So far as he removed our sin, our wrongdoing, our transgression from us. Jesus did it all so that we could live in it all. Jesus took away everything that's going to keep us captive and bound and restricted. And instead, he came with freedom and liberty and opportunity and possibilities. He came to separate. And again, as we were praying earlier, we just had this clear sense that some of us, we just got to cross over from living like we're still in Egypt. Nothing wrong with Egypt, the country, but what it represented then was not what we want to live in. We don't have to live like an Egyptian in the promised land. You live as a son or daughter of God in the land of promise. So Father, I just pray for these next few minutes as we just maybe do business on our own with you, or maybe we just hang around and us and just pray with people. I want to thank you that you're setting people free tonight. The old is gone, the new has come. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. No longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery. Do not let yourself again be burdened. Don't let it come upon you. Man, you've got to wriggle out of it. You've got to shake it off. How do you do that? Lord, forgive me. Lord, I forgive them. If there's any bitterness or resentment, man, that's not how God made you to live. Man, that's going to just chew you up like an emotional cancer. Give it to Jesus. Let him have it. Man, he says, come to me. Let me have that. I'll take that away. You don't have to carry that ever again. If there's anger, man, he says, rid yourself. Give it to God. God isn't going to come and take it. Just give it. He says, give it to me. Resentment, disappointment, despair, anything with this in causes disease. Yeah. Just give it to Jesus. He's brilliant at taking this away and giving you life and freedom instead. The very first time, pretty much, that Jesus was seen in public, a bloke called John said, there he is. There's a Son of God who takes away and gives. And he's doing it tonight. Takes away the sin of the world and gives the Holy Spirit. He does it all the time. So if you want him to take something away right now, you just talk to him. You can use your own words. You can, don't just think it, all right? You can have to say something. We can all do this at the same time. God's more than capable of hearing everybody at the same time. In the Bible, the word confess means we form it, we shape it in our mouth. And God isn't just looking for the words, he's looking for the heart intent as well. So I know we're serious here tonight. I know we want to be free tonight. I just know it. I don't know anybody that wants to be sick. I just don't. I don't know anybody that doesn't want to be well. All right? But some of this stuff, some of this hurt and loss and just despair, it's like we're carrying sickness around and we don't have to do that. So Father, I thank you for the working of your Spirit right now. You're speaking it to our lives. Thank you that you're setting us free. Father, I just thank you for your freedom tonight. Because you're in the room, you're in the house. I'm going to thank you that you're not here to judge, you're here to liberate. I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit at work right now. Taking the burdens, lifting the weights, taking away the chains of despair. That's right. I just Amen. Break those things Amen. Right now. I thank you that you've made us to be free people. Liberated people, able to live with you and for you in the power of the Holy Spirit, people. I thank you that you came to make us the head and not the tail. You came to lift our heads and our hearts on other things. You came so that we wouldn't be burdened again with the yoke of slavery and punishment and judgment. I thank you that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to thank you that there is no condemnation. There's not even a hope of it. There's not even a sniff of it. There's not even a possibility of it. Because you took every condemnation upon yourself. And you broke the power of it. So that we could live free in it. I thank you tonight, Jesus, that you are my freedom. You are my liberator. You are my freedom fighter. You are my champion. Hallelujah. I thank you that your Spirit has given me life. A life above, life over, life through every adversity. I want to thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. That tells me that, Jesus, you are my victory. I thank you that you are my victory tonight, Jesus. You are my freedom. You are my health and life. You are my hope. You are my future. You are my planner. You are my plan maker. You are my plan fulfiller. You are my heart's desire tonight, Jesus. As I sung earlier, you are my everything, oh God. I thank you that all of my hope is in you. All of my future is in you. All of my destiny is in you. All of my ambition is in you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. We're not quite done yet. Just waiting, is that all right? I said earlier, and this is true, this is actually a physical, medical science. I don't want to go into specifics, but some body issues, infirmities, diseases, particularly arthritic stuff, a lot of head stuff, is not physically rooted, it's psychologically rooted, it's in our head. And God doesn't want anybody living like that. There is a thought out there that if you get to a certain age, you have no value or less value. You're of less significance or no significance. And there's all kinds of conditions which you should expect to get. That is not what God thinks. In the same kind of way, if you're born in a certain part of town, there is already a thought around that part of town. There's a thought around that side of the street. There's a thought around that kind of shop. That's not what God thinks about you. There may be because you've come through loss, bereavement, divorce, whatever, that there is a thought out there and you have to live under it. You do not have to live under it. You live under what God thinks about you. You live under what God meditates about you, the Bible says. I love that. Maybe we're having a hard time at work and out there is, you know, you've got to look after. No. What God thinks about you is what we want to be thinking about us. Do you understand that? We need to kind of draw this thing to an end. But I just know we just need to pray for some people. I just feel it in my heart. Why? Because we're not magic people. We just want to agree with you. All right? The Bible says, what I think about this next 5 minutes is when we agree, something's going to happen. That's what I think. Why do I think like that? Because that's what God thinks. He says, whenever you two of you agree on earth concerning anything, I'm going to think that then. So if you would like myself or Andrew or whoever Richard is or Chad, we would love to pray with you before you go. This is going to be the best week, the freest, cleanest week, if I can put it that way, that you've ever had. Thanks. Liberating. Powerful. Now this week is not for the weak. It's for people like us that have been made strong in Jesus. So we're going to kind of draw this bit to a close. Just a reminder. I know you don't need to be reminded, but you matter so much to what God is doing in Worthing. More than we think. More than we think. What we think, when we bring that together and begin to express it and begin to expound on it, we call that prayer. And we begin to actually literally communicate the thinking of God over the thinking of the town, and the thinking of the town changes. Which is why these impact meetings that we have, we got one in a couple of weeks, are so important. Why? Because I don't want 120,000 people to live under a wrong thought. Because that's not what God thinks about our town. God thinks our town is going to be all right. God thinks our town is blessed, so assure him. God thinks our town is got on the up. Do you understand that? And we want to be praying that and declaring that and proclaiming that. So we're going to kind of bring this bit to a close. If you want to pray with us, we'd love to pray with you. Have an awesome week. Father, I want to thank you so much for what you're saying, for what you're doing. I want to thank you that your words are truth. And you say that if we know the truth sets us free. So Holy Spirit, help us to not just hear it, not just respond in it, but to know it, to live in it, to apply it, to seek it, and to meditate on it so it becomes part of our lifestyle. Help us to know the truth so that we can live in the good of it and the freedom of it. Father, I want to thank you for people that have been set free tonight, people that have been given hope tonight on the inside, because they can see there's another way of living. That we don't have to live in the past, we live in the now for the future. And I thank you and I praise your awesome name. Oh, let's give the Lord some praise and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woohoo! Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.